Discussing last time, again, still, Maharal is still busy trying to solidify this point that he's been making for a while, that the study of Torah will always surpass the study of any other form of knowledge, and to respond to the philosophers who wondered how it is that the study of the minutiae of halacha could possibly bring a person to the ultimate spiritual success. Okay, so he's going to continue again with that theme tonight. Some of the ideas will be somewhat familiar to us, but he's going to, again, the Maharal continues to double down and to triple down, I guess, in terms of solidifying this point. V'zehu ha'hefresh hagadol sheyesh ben yediyas haTorah v'hayediyah b'inyan hagalgalim v'yesodos atzman. Again, this distinction that we're making, and as we pointed out last time, that when you study the Torah as Hashem, you're studying the decrees of the Creator. And therefore, even if you're studying the smallest detail of it, you're tapping into something eternal, something transcendent, more so than the best understanding of something of the created world. But we'll talk that out tonight. That'll become more clear. So this is the distinction that exists between the knowledge and the study of Torah, and the awareness, the knowledge of the heavenly spheres and the yesodos, the natural properties of creation of the natural world. Ki atzman shel dvarim elu einam kol kach madrega, because the essence of these things is not that lofty. In other words, you might say, what do you mean? If I look at my physical body and I compare it to the sun, right? So on the one hand, you'll say, well, my body surpasses the sun. The wonders of the body, of the natural, of the physical body, of the human body, is the greatest of all, is the most wondrous of all of creation. At the same time, there are things which are quite large and quite powerful. Again, take for example the sun, where a person might feel in a certain sense it's greater. That's why some worship the sun. But at the end of the day, if we were to have a full grasp of the workings of the sun, if we were to understand the makeup of the sun, if we were somehow to understand and to harness an understanding of the energy of the sun, nonetheless, we're still studying a created being. That's true if we're studying the sun. That's true if we're studying medicine. That's true if we're studying angels. Going back to the psukkim that he mentioned earlier, a pasuk that we had two psukkim from Iyov that he mentioned earlier in the parak. In other words, Hashem is not impressed by shemayim as much as we are. Hashem is not impressed by angels as much as we are. V'im kein lo kana davar ma'ila klal. And therefore, the study of these things doesn't really give a person that lofty level of achievement that he's looking for. Aval hayediyah b'torah, but when it comes to grasping the knowledge of Torah, af im hayediyah b'shur v'chamor, you might say it looks like the substance of what is being studied is much more base, is much less lofty. You're studying an ox, you're studying a donkey. Uvishar dvareha asher einam chashuvim b'tzad atzmam. Again, to the human eye, they seem to be of a lesser quality than the study of the heavenly spheres, of the constellations, of the angels. But the reality is that if I'm studying something which has expression within Torah and mitzvos, it's the highest thing of all. Asher einam chashuvim b'tzad atzmam, they look like they're not so substantive, again, or valuable in their own right. Einam adrega shel hasaga zos b'tzad atzmam. Rak b'tzad shedvarim Elohim gzeras Hashem yisbarach v'yis'al al habruim. But they become essential, and they become purposeful, and they become great, simply because the madrega comes from the fact that this is part of the divine decree. The role that they will play in carrying out the divine will gives them value. Now you could say, well, my body also is part of the divine will. That's true. But when it finds expression within Torah and mitzvos, as a pasuk in Torah, or as a particular mitzvah that we're supposed to do, a halacha that's meant to be practiced, those details therefore become infused with that divine energy. And that is what's so significant about grasping Torah knowledge. Even though I've told you that the Torah and the mitzvahs, generally speaking, again, made up of chukim and mishpatim, asher la'adam shaychim, they appear to be of relevance to man, meaning it seems to be something of this world, right? When we're trying to distinguish, we're saying, well, angels, as he's going to make this point very clear in a few moments, angels are a created being. Right, but the Torah is the Torah. But the Torah is also expressing itself in real world reality, in real world circumstances and expressions. And in fact, we spoke earlier that Medrash that we learned quite a bit about in the seventh parak, that from Hashem's perspective, Hashem doesn't care on a certain level if we were to shecht an animal from the front of the neck or from the back of the neck. So what gives it again its significance? It seems like it matters to us, but then if it's a thing of this world, so then what separates it from anything else in this world? And then I should go back to my original assessment that a donkey is seemingly less purposeful. A donkey has less wisdom than a study of, again, of the galaxies. Rakikach royal Adam. It seems that it's relevant from the perspective, again, of a person. Mikol makom hakol misader Hashem yisbarach v'yis'al eshamo. Asher seider me'ito yisbarach. But again, its greatness, the grandeur of Torah, is simply the fact that Hashem has arranged it as such. Again, from Hashem's perspective, it wouldn't really matter one way or another. From man's perspective, on a certain level, we try to understand and we acknowledge that we don't really understand. We do it simply because Hashem says so. So what is the greatness? At the end of the day, what is the greatness of playing this game? And the answer is, as we've learned earlier, that I'm aligning myself with the order, with the Seder, of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's way of thinking. Umitzad hazeh ha'osek b'torah hu ha'osek b'seder asher seder Hashem yisbarach. Again, what I'm doing is I'm getting in line with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Like we spoke about the yashrus of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the emes of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the seder of Hashem yisbarach, the gzeira, the decree of Hashem yisbarach. When I align myself with that line of thinking, ein zeh davar mitzad ha'adam, then it becomes of a much secondary nature, what it means to me as an Adam. The bottom line is dveikus. I'm clinging to Hashem. I'm aligning my thoughts with Hashem. I'm carrying out the divine will. Va'adraba ha'gezeira hi ol ala Adam. Again, like we learned in much earlier prakim, that the gezeira, the decree, is meant to be as a yoke, as a responsibility that is placed upon man, regardless of our understanding. Like we find in this coming week's parsha, Noach builds his teva, as Hashem commanded him, kein asa, twice in the pasuk. Noah did as he was commanded, Kena saw, so he did. The Mefarshim explained, he did exactly what Hashem told him because Hashem told him. There's a lot of reasons why Noah's building a boat. We understand why, the purpose of building a boat, both in terms of his own salvation, in terms of the message towards the world. But at the end of the day, why did Noah build the boat? Because God said so. Im kein ein ha'yadiyah hazos misyacheses sheyikne yadiyah ba'adam. So again, if this is true, then acquiring this knowledge is not really about how does this knowledge transform a person? Or how do we assess the quality of this knowledge in relation to the person? But rather, what matters to me when I study Torah is that I am becoming knowledgeable in the decree and in the order, in the reality as expressed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'dor zeh hivuch, kasher yikna ha'yediyah begal galim. Shehu b'yediyas atzman ve'ein zeh madregas ma'ila klal. As opposed to the study, and again, we're going to have to fine-tune this, but as opposed to the study of, again, something within the world that is not a mitzvah per se, or is not a pasuk in the Torah per se, again, there's no question. And I think, Jake, I think you made this point in the past, right? That if a doctor studies the body, that's a great way to get to know Hashem. So we're going to come back to that point again. But he's drawing a distinction between simply tapping into Torah, tapping into mitzvos, versus studying created beings, studying systems of knowledge, which again also come from Hashem, but it's not Torah itself. So let's fine-tune that point. He's going to fine-tune that point now. Umasha Adam Choshev, that which a person thinks. So why is it, right? Why are we impressed by the study of philosophy? Why are we drawn to that? Why do we, you know, at times feel that the doctor who's able to perform the delicate brain surgery is far greater in his knowledge than the guy who sits in front of his Gemara above a comma? Right? Why do we feel? Is it that we feel that the brain surgeon is doing more for the world? And again, in a physical sense, maybe he is. Right? We feel that his knowledge is saving lives. And the Talmudic scholar is only studying in a theoretical sense. Is that why? Why are we attracted to sort of our own hierarchy of what studies and what subjects are of great importance? Umasha Adam Choshev, ki kasher omir al mohus hayesodos vaatzmachim ubalechayim. that which a person feels, that if I could understand, if I could grasp the essence, again, of creation, whether it's plant life or whether it's animal life, shekana madre dola, he feels that if he understands systems, whether it's in the animal kingdom, or whether it's in plants and trees, or whether it's in the human body and understanding of the medicine and sciences as applied to human beings. Why do we feel that's such a great madrega? So a lot of that is simply the fact that we're impressed by people who know things that we don't know. Right? The fact that a lot of people can't do it or don't know it, don't understand how it works, or can't perform that skilled procedure of the neurosurgeon, or can't hit the three-pointer like that star athlete, or fail to be able to make that, you know, that philosophical argument like that great philosopher, right? We become impressed by that. V'choshev kasher hisig ha'asaga she'in akala hisig ledavar gadol ma'od lehelem ha'asaga. Right? We're impressed by the fact that, wow, this person is able to do something, or this person understands something that most people don't understand. This person can explain something or perform something that most people don't have that knowledge. Ve'ein ha'davar kach. But says the Maharal, that shouldn't impress us as much as it does. She'im kein, because if that's true, mi shehisig ha'saga amuka b'nagrus, shelo hayu yecholim la'asos shar b'nei adam. Imagine a skilled carpenter who's able to craft something that the average man can't craft. Yomer gam kein bezeshi gil davar gadol. Would we say that he has achieved something, you know, of great significance? Now again, he has a great skill. And a lot of people don't have that skill. And people are impressed by that skill. But certainly, the fact that he's able to fashion something out of a piece of wood, right, we would not say that that's a davar gadol in an objective sense. Maybe in a relative sense, it's impressive. But in an objective sense, it's not that important. It's not that important. Right? The Maharal, again, I keep coming back to the sports mashal, but I think it's a fitting mashal. Right? The Maharal would say that an athlete or a person who's able to perform some physical feat, again, for a person who's impressed by knowledge, would say, it's not so impressive. So the Maharal, again, he's not, God forbid, poking fun at the carpenter. He's impressed by the skill as we are, Right? The artist who's able to draw a magnificent painting, it's a wondrous thing. We're awed by it. We're impressed by it. But in the grand scheme of life, so he drew a nice picture. He painted a nice painting. It can be a famous painting. It can be worth millions of dollars. But in the grand scheme of things, it's not that important. Right? Push comes to shove. If we, if the world would go on without it, one way or another. So therefore, umeata, and therefore, Ma dimyon yesh ledivrei Torah el yediyah b'nivraim kulam. So says the Maharal, now that we understand this, we should be able to draw a very clear distinction in our mind between what? Between Torah and the knowledge of created beings. V'chi mizdama ha'poel el asher pa'alo. In other words, when we could talk about studying Torah versus studying anything else, it's the comparison of the creator and the created being. When I study Torah, I'm not just studying Shur and Chamor, and that's what he wants us to realize. When you study Bava Kamma, you're not studying an ox that ran into a donkey. You're not studying a beam that crashed into a barrel. You're studying God. You have to think of it like that. Right? Ki mizdama poel asher paalo. You're comparing the creator to that which he created. Ki ayidia b'chol hanivraim. When you study anything of the world, hu yediyas hanivra hu mahuso. So I want to study again the sun. I want to study the moon. I want to study angels, which were created according to the Medrash. This past Shabbos, I was reading Medrash Rabbah, either on the second day or the fifth day. Awesome, lofty beings. But you're studying a created being. She'ein b'zeh medrega shel klum. Rakim kona heyediya behen la'amod ala poel shebara kol. Now, why do I study them? Why can I justify the study of the world? Well, I could say, I'm studying the world in order to get to know Hashem. And that's true. And again, Jake, that was the point that you made a number of weeks ago. Let's read a Rambam for a second. Let's pause for a second. My footnotes here quotes the well-known Rambam in Yisodei HaTorah Perek Beis Halacha Beis, where the Rambam says, one of the ways that a person comes to love and fear Hashem, Heichi haderech la'avaso v'yiraso shel Hashem, how does a person come to love and fear Hashem? B'shashi is boni na adam b'maisav ubruav haniflaim, when one contemplates the wondrous creations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, I look up and I see the stars in a clear night. I think about the sun. I think about the position of the moon in the sky. I think about the planets. I think about the angels. I think about oxygen. And I think about, you know, H2O creating water. I think about the atomic understanding of all of reality. And there's a lot to study and a lot to be impressed by. When I recognize the infinite amount of wisdom that's contained within every created being or every bit of creation, as I think I mentioned once before, the Chazon Ish said, I could spend my whole life looking at a flower. There's enough godliness packed into a single flower that I could study a single rose my entire life. There's enough wisdom in it to study forever. When I see Hashem's awesome creations, I fall in love with the Creator. But the Maharal says, but you have to remember, that's still using a thing of this world as a stepping stone to then come to Hashem. Why do I have to come to Hashem in a roundabout way? Why not just go straight to the source? And what the Maharal is telling us, the way to go straight to the source is by studying Torah itself. V'sof sof hayedia benivra. Because no matter what I'm studying, what I'm looking at in the moment, when I look at that flower, which is reflecting godliness, but I'm studying a flower, which is a created being. I'm studying something which the Creator has created. Again, it's a fine difference. But when I study the Torah itself, Hashem is one with His Torah. Right? When the Zohar says that Hashem is one with His Torah, it doesn't say Hashem is one with the sun. It doesn't say Hashem is one with a blade of grass. On a certain level, that's all true. The blade of grass is reflecting God in this world. But when I study the Torah itself, whatever we label as Torah or mitzvos, it's a much more direct, again, going back to those words, yashar, seder, it's a direct path to connection to Hashem. V'im ki Torah ha'adam, zeh mitzar ha'makabel ha'gzeirah. And if you'll say, well, but the lulav, as it relates to man on Sukkos, is relevant to this world. That's only from our perspective. Of Alagzeira Atzma, but the very words that Hashem Himself composed in His Torah, Gzeiras Hashem Yisbarach V'Yis'Ale Shemo Tikra. V'Neizeh Lo Nikra Hayedia B'Nivra Klal. When I study the words of the Torah, I'm not studying it as relevant to man. That goes back to that Medrash. From God's perspective, it doesn't matter if you shecht in the front or the back. From man's perspective, we try to understand how it fits into my reality. But from Hashem's perspective, it just is. Hashem said it. So when I read the words of the Torah, Bereishis Bara Elokim, I'm touching Hashem. I'm making contact with Hashem. It reminds us of a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says in the third parak of Avos that if a person's walking down the road and they're learning, right, they're reviewing the parsha in their mind, and all of a sudden they see a beautiful tree. And they say, wow, how beautiful is that tree? So the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Ki'ilu mischayev benafsho. Why should that be? He wants to recognize Hashem's Bria. He wants maybe even to make a bracha on the beautiful sights and sounds of the world. So what did he do that was so offensive? The answer is, he's Ki'ilu mischayev benafsho because he was hifsik mimishnaso. He left his Torah study. Right? Again, on a relative level, he lowered himself. Because instead of studying God Himself through Torah, he decided to study the creation as a way to get to know Hashem. And therefore, that was a bad choice. That was a disconnect from his dvekas in Hashem. And therefore, when one is disconnected, again, he's not utterly disconnected from Hashem, but by lowering his level of connection to Hashem, he's putting himself in danger. Lachein anu omrim, shim yikna yediya b'mohos ha'odim ve'ivar. So therefore, in conclusion, let's wrap up tonight. Therefore, if we say that a person has acquired knowledge of a person and his limbs, again, a person understands the scientific makeup of man, uvechol asher megia la'adam, ein hayadiyah shel klum. As wondrous as the human body is, and as much as one could use that to come to an appreciation of God, it's on the relative scale compared to Torah itself, it's essentially nothing. If not for the fact that it allows me, again, to come to know Hashem. However, kasher yasig hayediyah b'mishpat tanur v'kirayim, he's used this example before, when a person studies the rulings regarding an oven or a kira, right, two types of ovens, he's referring to this Gemara over here on the screen in Sanhedrin, where the Gemara is darshaning the pasuk at the beginning of Devarim, that we should have judges who are able to judge properly. Bein ish uvein achiv uvein geiro. So the Gemara makes a play on the word uvein geiro in Sanhedrin daf zayin of beis. Ben geiro, which means the stranger amongst them, the ger amongst them, but they learn geiro as a lashon of a dwelling place, right? Lagur. To be able to judge different types of dwelling places. What does that mean? Rav Yehuda says, afilu bein tanur v'kirayim. If someone passes away and the children are dividing up their possessions, to be able to distinguish precisely, right? This one gets an oven, this one gets a stove, and to divide it in an absolutely equitable fashion, as it says here, right? So when a person studies that, even though it seems like a much smaller matter, you're arguing over two different sizes of an oven versus the study of what? The study of a human body, right? You would think that the study of the human body, the study of the universe would be much greater. But says Maharal, no. Hu yikne hatzlacha nitzchus. When a person is studying Choshen Mishpat, he's settling a dispute over an oven and a stove. That's of much greater purpose, of much greater importance than the study of anything of the natural world. And this distinction is well understood to those who are wise and understand. Because if you're studying the human body, at the end of the day, you're studying what? You're studying Adam Yisodo Me'afar V'Sofo Lafar. As wondrous as the body is, it came from the dirt, it goes back to the dirt. So no matter how much you have a mastery over the science of the human body, you're still studying something temporal, you're studying something of this world. But if you study Torah, you're studying infinity. You're studying something which is eternal. You're studying Hashem. Asher gozer gezeira zos, kamelech hagozer mitzad malchuso. You're studying the will of the King of all kings, who has demanded it as such. Ve'eilav mesiaches, and therefore, by extension, to him you are connected, you are relating to him. Ve'zeo mailas hayediyah b'mitzvos. And again, this is the greatness of the study of mitzvos. Okay? So we'll stop here tonight. Again, the Maharal just keeps drilling this point home. Yirtzeh Hashem, Tuesday night, we'll finally finish up the 11th parak. But it's a very fine distinction between studying something which can lead me to awareness of God versus studying the what I keep calling the sugya of Hashem himself. Okay, any questions or comments?